We need you. Great guy. Amen. Right, thank you so much, team. Great worship set this morning. Love it. So we're carrying on this morning with what we've been carrying on with over the last few weeks. Because why? And I want you to help uncover your because. Uncover your why. Like, why am I here? Why am I on this earth? And I would like to think that every one of us has had that moment or is open to having that moment of like, why am I here? Like, there's got to be more to life. And a lot of you are here because you've had this why moment. But like, why am I here? Surely my purpose is just not to live and die. And that's it. End of story. And I've got good news for you. Your why is not just to live and die and for life to be over. Your why is to use this life to encounter or discover or get to know your Creator and God. And then to use this life to glorify Him, to work alongside of Him for His purposes on earth. And then when this life draws to a close, this life is simply the matinee before the main act. It is like the appetizer for the full course that is to come, which is life eternal in heaven with Christ Jesus. And we need to be open to the why all the time. Why am I doing this? Why am I here? What's my purpose? And what's my because? Why has God put me in Taupo? Why has God given me this business, this family, this friend group, this skill set? He's given you it because He wants you in that realm to be salt and light, to bring His kingdom into the environment that you operate within. Whether it's in the workshop or the field or the schoolroom, the coffee room, whatever room it may be, you're there because God has a plan for your life. And we're going to go back to Isaiah 61. And just go from there again, where it says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me." So you have to know this, and we've got some scriptures to kind of go with this, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. If you're here this morning and you have received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible says, "Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord," being the Lord Jesus, not the Lord of the Rings, "the Lord Jesus, shall be saved." So whoever, that's a very inclusive word. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Your soul or your spirit, what I mean by saved is that when you die, you go to heaven, not hell. You go to be with Jesus eternally. That is why He had to come and die on the cross to pay our recompense, to cover our sinfulness, to put us in right standing before our God, the God in heaven. But whenever someone calls on the name of the Lord, whenever we get saved, we don't just get our names written in heaven, our salvation made secure in Christ Jesus, we also receive the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not a weird thing. It can be weird. Like, we've been in church long enough to see some crazy stuff. But this is, when receiving the Holy Spirit it is a wonderful moment. Because the Holy Spirit starts to educate us and disciple us and lead us out of an old life into a new life. It's called another way of getting saved, like when you call upon the name of the Lord, you get saved, is called being born again. Jesus said to this guy, he's like, "What must I do?" He's like, "You must be born again." He's like, what? He's like, "What do you mean? How can I, it's not possible." He's like, "No." He's like, "Everyone must be born once of the flesh and once of the spirit." So think about it like this. When you were born of the flesh, You were raised by your parents or your caregivers. They educated you, they taught you, they guided you, they propped you up, they helped you to crawl and to walk and to run and ride a bike and to talk. And you had a whole community of people around you to educate you in the way of humanness. This is how you walk, this is how you read, you write, your teachers and aunties and uncles. All these people that gathered around you as a human being. I literally thought I was falling 10,000 feet. But it was, you know, that moment, like when you're in scaffold and you step one way and it's like 5 millimeters lower and you almost go, ah, no, no, it's okay. Wow. So I don't know why. It's not like I haven't walked on this before. It is sound. But I'll stand up. But So when you're born again of the Spirit, you also need to be educated. You need to, it's called being discipled. You learn about this new life you have found in Christ Jesus. So, and the Apostle Paul alludes to it in his writings to various churches that we mature in our faith. He actually says, in one time, he says, you were infants needing spiritual milk, but you've grown up and now you're mature. You need meat, like more substantial sustenance to add to your spiritual life. So just as we, as infants, we get on the bottle or the boob and, you know, we graduate from it. I know we all still have a glass of milk. It's just in our DNA. But, we do. Go the boys. Why are you blushing? just totally derailed. My very unstable train of thought has just collapsed. But, you know, we graduated from it and you get given puree and blended roast meals and until you... eating on your own. So when we receive the Holy Spirit upon salvation, we receive this deposit that guarantees that which is to come. And it is the Holy Spirit from God, the third part of the great Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who have been in collaboration since before creation itself was a thing. The Holy Spirit is given to us as a gift to help us grow into this new life that God is calling us to live as a Christian or as a man or woman of faith, a saint, a priest. You know, we could call it many, many things. So the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you. I want you to know that, not like, oh, is God, is he with me or is he? No, he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. So the Spirit of the Lord, if you have said, Jesus, I give you my life, he's like, great, I give you my Spirit. I give you my life, because his Spirit is a life-giving Spirit. So when we give Christ our life, he gives us his life, the life of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon you and is within you. That's good news. Because, there it is. Because he has a mission for your life. Your life is incredibly important to Jesus. Your reason for existence is not haphazard. It is not, we could have done without you. Like the spare wheel, are we ever really going to use it? This, you know, well, maybe we're just running run flats here. We don't even need the spare. No, your life is not the spare wheel. Like we'll just get it out of, you know, when we get a flatty, when the other one goes flat. Your life is like a big end bearing. Without it in the engine, we're going to have a severe rattle and a catastrophic failure incredibly quickly. We're all a necessary and a vital part of the mechanism or the organism that God, that is the local and glorious body of Christ, called the church, that we all participate in and with, each part doing its part, that we function in God's mission individually and collectively to bring about God's purposes for the earth. And His Spirit is upon you because He has an important part for you to play while you're here on this earth. But it comes out of that place of knowing Him, like working with Him, not for Him. He is kind of your boss, but He's kind of your brother. You've just figured it out with Him. Some people like it a bit rough, like Jake Morris. He's great. He's like, just drag me along, Lord. Others like it a little bit, more, I don't know any other way. Nicer, more, and it's all good, but we are working with Him. We are co-laboring with Christ Jesus in the harvest field of the earth. And the Spirit of the Lord is upon you because He has anointed you to do something special with your life. Now, with Jesus, it was, to preach the good news to the poor. And our purposes always dovetail into Christ's purposes. Like when He said, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So you will carry on in a way that testifies and witnesses to that which I've started. Yeah. So the believer's life is a witness to Christ's life. So there's symmetry between the two. Like you can't be a witness to something that you don't operate in. Like if you haven't seen or you have no understanding of. So when someone is called in a court case to be a witness, they have to have witnessed it. Now, we may not have witnessed the physical ministry of Christ Jesus because there's a reasonable time frame between Him and us. But this is why us all doing our part continues the mission that Christ established while He was here on earth, which is the making of disciples and the building of His church. There is a continual witnessing process, and we have the Bible to continually refer back to make sure we are staying within the lanes that God put for us to operate in. So here we go, Ephesians 2 verse 10. I'll skip some of that Isaiah stuff. I'll read number 4. I'll read half of number 3. They'll be called, I'll start number 1. No. They'll be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. That is your life. You'll be called an oak of righteousness, strong, steady, beautiful, handsome, purposeful, providing shade and security for people to shelter under, a planting, so more than one. Not a plant, like a forest, an acreage of trees, oaks of righteousness that display the Lord's splendor. Like, man, I used to be a raggedy old bit of fescue, and look what God has done. I used to be a bit of broom, that stuff that's yellow everywhere at the moment. It looks okay, then it turns bright yellow, and you're like, oh man, it's dreadful. But that used to be you, and now you're an oak of righteousness. That used to be me, just like this little thing, just trying to grow away out of some little old bit of soil, and Christ gets in our life and transforms us and puts His Spirit inside of us and does a work in us that transforms us into oaks of righteousness, and they will rebuild ancient ruins. They will restore places long devastated. They will renew ancient cities that have been devastated for generations, so the people who get a work done in them will have a work done through them. So when we get a work done in us, we'll have a work done through us. That's what the Bible says. When you hear the word of the Lord, do not harden your hearts as they did in the day of the rebellion. Because the work first is done in here before it is done out there. That's what 2 Corinthians echoes when it says, the God of compassion and Father of comfort, who comforts us in all of our troubles so that in turn we may comfort others in their time of need. That God wants to do something in us so He can do something through us. But when we resist God and we resist the Spirit and we harden our hearts, which is the meeting place of God, kind of all goes on in here, we actually stifle ourselves from being used by God, because He doesn't just, like I said before, He doesn't want to just like, you're not a means to an end for God. He wants to meet you personally, do a deep work in your life and a continual work in your life, that then through your life, you will become the rebuilder of the lives around you. Amen. So Ephesians 2 verse 10 says, we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There's a great scripture that says this: who are you, O clay, to say back to the potter, why have you made me this way? God has made you this way, and you are fabulous. You are brilliant. You've got it all going on. You are the real deal. You are God's handiwork. He fashioned you. He formed you. He created you. He purposed you. And I want you to leave church today with absolute confidence that God has a plan for your life. That you have purpose, you have destiny, you have calling, you have meaning, you have reason for your existence, you have value, that you were created in Christ Jesus for good works. And some of you in this room, it's been said, yo, nothing good will come of your life. Wow, I've got news for those people. You gave your life to Jesus, and He says, well, I created you for good works. I've got a father-in-law, and people said nothing good will come out of that life. Well, someone met Jesus, and most of you experienced the goodness that Christ has done in His life. When you give your life to Jesus, you flip the script. Someone may have said, you'll never be anything. You'll never be a somebody. You'll always be a nobody. Well, I'm a nobody that's known by somebody, and that somebody is Jesus. And if you want to be known by anyone, it's known by Jesus. I'm mates with Him. Not the guy on the cross, the guy on the throne. That is your life. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you are scripted in, you're grafted in, you're brought in, Matt, like the 13th warrior into a company of men and women, and you're not forced to become something not, you're encouraged, hopefully, to become the person that you really are, the most fabulous version of yourself, created in Christ Jesus, God's handiwork. Everybody say, good works. You're created for good works, not bad works, not average works, good works. God's Spirit is upon you because He has good works for you, and they are works that fit you. Like a yoke fits an ox. It is not uncomfortable for the ox to wear the yoke. Otherwise, it wouldn't work. It would stop. You could flog it for a while to get it to, you know, do its thing. But you've ever heard the word, the saying, as stubborn as an ox? Well, if the ox is over it, the ox is as stubborn as an ox. It is over it. So we are called to take on this yoke with Christ Jesus, the yoke of service, the yoke of servanthood, the yoke of sonship and daughtership with Christ Jesus. And the works are designed to fit you, to fit your personality, to fit your giftings. Now, there is times in life where you got to plow some rocky ground. You got to plow uphill sometimes. It's not all just topsoil on the level. Sometimes there's a bit of clay, bit of topal pumice in there. But because the yoke is made to fit you, when the going gets hard, there is still a grace upon you to continue in the work that God has for you, because the work fits the person and the person fits the work. God, since before time itself began, saw you and created for you works for you to do. Not alone, but with Christ and a company of believers. So the work that God has for you, your because, is designed to fit you. And the Spirit of God is the catalyst to the call. When I was young, my father built a boat. And he did it in our backyard. He built a shed and he built a boat in the shed. It was like an incredibly small scale of Noah. But his children were like animals, so it was kind of... But he raised them. But I'd help on the odd occasion, the boat builder, when he was doing fiberglass. And we had these big drums of resin. And we had these big drums, or these big bags of powder. Well, that was more for mixing up bog, but the same principle applies. And then we had this little itty-bitty 1 liter plastic transparent bottle with a measuring jug on top that was catalyst. And you could mix up as much resin and as much powder as you wished, but it would never be activated until you poured in just a little measured amount of catalyst. And the boat builder says to me, says, "Mark, I don't get that in your eyes." And he's like, "And if you do, don't bother washing it out. You're already blind." I was like, "Oh, shoot." Like, and that's when my service in the boat building shed came to a cease. But when you put in this catalyst into the greater body of goo, of powder, of resin, that is what begins the activating process for it to go just from raw product into something that can be shaped, molded, and set to, in this instance, create a vessel that will float upon the great ocean. And when we receive the Holy Spirit into our life, when we open our hearts, yes, to Jesus, but to the idea that the Holy Spirit wants to lead us and guide us and educate us, that is the catalyst. That is the, like putting into the raw product of our lives the activating ingredient that is going to make them function the way they are intended to function. And when we receive the Holy Spirit, it's the catalyst to the raw product that's already sitting in your life. It's not like you need to learn and you need to get educated, but the call of God is not like, "Well, I need to go and do all of this stuff first and then..." It's like, "All right, God, just fill me with your Holy Spirit. Set the catalyst at work in me to activate the raw product that God has already put there in his divine wisdom and knowledge." In fact, Jesus said, "Go into Jerusalem in Acts 4, and wait there, and in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria to the ends of the earth." And here we see that when the Holy Spirit fell upon those disciples in the early days of the emergence of the church, it was the Holy Spirit that activated the call, that set a fire, a movement that has never been able to be stopped and will not be able to stop. And every one of us here is a part of the because. The Holy Spirit is not exclusive, he's inclusive. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Like, whoever wants to participate, like, but if you can't sing, like, you got to know your lane. Like, "I can't sing, I don't participate with the band." If you don't have timing, like, I'm not saying that means, "Oh, I can just do whatever I want because I want to do it." No, I find out about myself, the person God has made me to be, and then I run in that which God. 2 Corinthians 1 says, "It's now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set his seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing that which is to come." This is what I've been talking about. God has put his Spirit in you to bring your because to life, to bring your why out of you, and to open your eyes to realize, man, this is part of the reason for my existence. this is why I'm passionate about this. This is why when I see an injustice, something stirs in me. This is why when I see poverty, something stirs in me. This is why when I see sickness, something stirs in me. This is why when I think about, you know, business, something stirs in me. This is why when I think about young mums and them needing to be educated around parenting, something stirs in me. It's the why of God stirring in you. When the Holy Spirit is a permitted access to get in there, you'll be amazed at what is brought out of your life. And this is the way God has intended us to all function together. The prophet Joel spoke of it way, way ago. He says, in the end times, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters, and they will prophesy, and old men will dream dreams, and young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. So that gives me great confidence that this is an ongoing cycle that God is working in all of humanity. The pouring out of His Spirit, the infilling of His Spirit, the activation of the gifts and the calling that is in every single person on the face of the earth that God has put there since a long time ago, that the Holy Spirit being poured out was not a moment in time. It was a moment for the church to be born and then for the church to be maintained and sustained by the continual outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Just like your car, when you take it to the pump, you got to go back all the time. If you got an EV, then you got to plug it in all the time. Same principle applies. You need to keep getting power from an external source. That is us getting power and infilling from the Holy Spirit. It's not a question whether or not you have a because. The question is, are we going to do our because? And that is what I would like to stir in our hearts this morning, that every one of us is created in Christ Jesus to do good works. Every one of us is anointed by God. Every one of us carries His Holy Spirit, guaranteeing, as a guarantee, like not a maybe, not like a 5-year warranty, like a guarantee of that which is to come. And every one of us has the invitation from God to work with Him to achieve His plans and His purposes while we are here on this earth. Let me pray for you this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray right now that you would help open the eyes, not of our head, but the eyes of our heart, to see the great mission, the great purpose that you've put upon our lives. And I pray that you give us the confidence to keep rising and keep seeking and keep uncovering that which you have put in us since a long time ago, and that your Holy Spirit would lead us and guide us and continue to open the eyes of our heart to see that which you have already in store for us. Bless your body. In your mighty name I pray, Jesus. Amen. God bless you, church. Thank you, team.